Blog Talk Radio.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you were the one I held on to, and I never,
never would have made it.
Oh, I never could have made it.
Just need to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm wiser, I'm better, so much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Tell them. All hail the street queens and all that we stand for, man. Introducing the Street Queen. Let's go.
Yeah, 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 man. It's your girl, Lushy Lush, man, live in the building, shutting it down like we always do. Lush Radio Online presents Street Queens, the movement. You know how we do each and every Thursday, man. Always give you the exclusive. Man, we want to send a shout-out to all the people going through it, you know, survivors of abuse, people going through cancer, exclusive fashion and furs, game face. Trunk Hustlers, www.trunkhustlers.com, mixshowblast.com, divas.com, you know, strictlybump1.com, everybody, and, you know, the whole Donna Savage's whole families. Shout out to Queen Pin, shout out to Wendy of Denim Lounge. You know, my prayers go out to you, girl, and, you know, today our whole show is based on, we're doing an exclusive interview with a wonderful, remarkable woman. Her name is Donna Savage, who wrote the book, The Blood, Tears, and of Domestic Violence, A Survivor's Revelation. This is a lifesaver to women that are going through abusive relationships. And the quote today is from our one and only Miss Jarvita, Queen J. We are the world. We create the future and control our destiny. Throughout whatever situation you're going through, you know what I'm saying, you must ask God and throw your hands to him and say, I can't deal with this situation, so I'm asking you, help me. No one can keep you in a place unless you allow yourself to stay in that place. Sometimes we feel lost. Sometimes we're scared if we do things, but we eventually can come out. So I'm going to read that quote one more time to you guys. The quote of the day is, we are the world, we create the future, and control our destiny. Like I said, once again, this is Lush Radio Online presents Street Queens, the movement. All callers can call in at 347-826-7722. And if you don't want to actually, you know, say your name, you can call in anonymously. Approximately every 15 minutes of the show, we give you like 5 minutes to go ahead and, you know, say what you have to say in there in regards to responding to questions and stuff like that. But if we don't get to you, I'm apologizing in advance, and we're apologizing in advance if we don't get to you. Any unanswered questions, make sure you log on to lushradioonline.com, and you can ask any questions there. Make sure that you blog us and you mark us as your favorite. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/lushradioonline. You can go to our blogging spot to get more information, streetqueensthemovement.blogspot.com. Also, you can email us at streetqueensmovement@gmail.com. And you can also check out our website where you get more updated and more information at www.streetqueensthemovement.ning.com, or hit us on MySpace, www.myspace.com/streetqueensthemovement. If you want to give any donations, write any letters of support, make sure that you write us at P.O. Box 30126, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 20731. Please, everybody that calls in, please be respectful to the panelists and callers. No profanity allowed at all. If you're found being disrespectful, you will be excused from the air, no exceptions. So we go into our interview, and we will go on the line and bring our callers in. Peace, Queen Jarvita.
Peace, Queen.
How you doing? How you doing, girl? How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm happy and loving life and just grateful to be on this call and doing this interview with Miss Savage today.
That's what it is. Our young lady is here, Miss Savage. How you doing today, Miss Savage?
Hi, how are you? I'm fine. I'm glad to be on the air also.
Well, we're actually glad to have you on the air, and, you know, we want to give you a warm Street Queens welcome.
Thank you.
That's what it is.
Thank
you. We're so honored and happy to have you, you know, on the call. We're waiting for the rest of our street queens to come in, but you know, we'll start off. Shout out to you know, Felicia Sabree, Toy, Lissette is feeling kind of ill today, so we just send a shout out in our prayers. NCG Michelle. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, you can go ahead and give your shout-out, Donna.
Oh, okay. I'd like to shout out to all of the survivors of domestic violence and all of the advocates that are out there, because there is many of us out here trying to make a difference, and also all victims. I pray that many are listening so that they can be encouraged to know that they can become survivors and also become a chain with us so that we can get something done to stop domestic violence.
That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it is. And before we get down, you know, to Nick Grady, like, you know, just writing this book, you know, tell everybody, you know, the name of the book and you know, and everything like that. You know, tell them about the book and, you know, basically we can, you know, actually go and, you know, check it out and purchase it and read more information, and we can go ahead and go into the interview.
Okay. Yes, the title of my book is The Blood and Tears of Domestic Violence, A Survivor's Revelation, and it is available online at over 25,000 online sites, as well as some bookstores. Barnes & Noble has it, and if they don't have it in stock, they can definitely order it for you. And it's available also at some local booksellers, but wherever you live, you would have to just go in to ask and require them to carry the book. But it's definitely out there. It's been published since June 18th of 2008. And as I'm told, it's a very powerful book. The book is about my life as a victim for nearly 20 years, and now I'm a survivor, and I'm telling my story so that I can make a big impact on the statistics that are going on.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah, Javita on here, you know, one of my street queens, wonderful street queens. I love her to death, and she's my VP. Javita, you want to start off with the questions?
Sure. Ms. Savage, where are you originally from, and where do you reside now?
Yes, I'm originally from New York. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, Bedford-Stuyvesant. And right now I reside in Flanders, New Jersey. When I left him, I fled to New Jersey, and that's how I actually got to New Jersey. I had never even came to New Jersey at all before I left him. So now I'm here, and I'm happy living with my new husband, who's nonviolent, and my son and my daughter-in-law.
I'm so glad and blessed that you're able to, you know what I'm saying, have peace in your life now, because I'm telling you, people, listeners that's listening to this show, when you read this book, if you've ever been in some type of form of you know, domestic violence, or, you know, just, you know, dealing with verbal abuse, you will relate so much. The things that, I mean, I had to ask her twice, was this really you? Because when you see her, you're like, this beautiful woman, she's so strong, you know, and everything. And you read this book and you're like, I mean, you go from the transition from her giving, from her being born to, you know, talking to her mom, to transitions of, you know, the abuse her mom was getting, you know, to, you know, her dealing with her own abuse and going into her womanhood, getting married early, you know, the controlling and the belittling, and then going and trying to find a way out, and people that you want to, you know, latch on to, people to talk to, basically are telling you, hey, you know, beatings are normal, take it, you know, like, come on, like, you know, and from rape, it's a transition, and it'll definitely bring tears to your eyes, seriously. It's a powerful book, and I'm in the middle of it, and I'm like, some parts I had to stop, and I was crying.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, it's great. You continue, Javita, in regards to the questions, Javita.
Okay. Now, I know you have a book called The Blood, Sweat, and Tears of Domestic Violence. What inspired you to write this autobiography of your life experience in growing up in an abusive household?
Actually, my lawyer is the one that had me to write. She first asked me to do a synopsis of some of the episodes of abuse for my divorce. And when I did it, I couldn't really think of what to put down that she wanted me to describe. So I just described just some things that I remembered that happened. And when she read it, she called me back and she said that she felt like she had read a novel. And then she told me from there that she wanted to read it before a group of about 1,000 women because she was a domestic violence attorney. And then she called me back that day and she said, Donna, she said, I've never seen that reaction before. And she said, I've done many speeches, but she said a lot of the women in the audience were crying. And she said, I suggest you to write a book because you definitely have a book in you. And she said, probably even a movie, because she said, this is a very powerful story and it should be told to the world. So from there, I didn't really know how to begin, but I started to just write. And before I knew it, I had a binder full, and then I started to transcribe it. And then throughout the years, it took me 10 years to finish it because I just kept on putting it down because my computer were crashing and just different things that were going on. But then I finally picked it up after another tragedy, which I can talk about that a little bit later on. Another tragedy is what made me finish it.
Okay.
And I'm sorry to interrupt real quick. I'm going to bring in one of my other street queens, Peace Queen. Queen Emma is live on the line with Miss Donna and Javita. Peace, Queen.
Peace, peace to all the queens on the line, especially to Donna. We appreciate you calling in and giving us this opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. We're glad to have you.
Yeah, we're really honored to have you on here, just, you know, being a survivor. You know, and Emma and Javita have their own personal experiences, which we'll share later. And, you know, I have my own also. But callers, you know, you can call in anonymously if you want to share your experience. You know, call in at 347-826-7722. So, you know, in regards to you reading the book and everything, I mean, I'm in the middle of the book, and I'm like, I had to stop some parts. Like I said, I was crying. I mean, the abuse that she went through is so, you know, so depictive. Like, it's so graphic the way she explains it in there. And everything happened to her, and it's like, wow, you look at her, and you're like, so beautiful, strong, and you're like, I got to say it again. I have to, like, really think, like, is this all you right here? And it's all
mm-hmm.
her.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much.
You know, and, okay, was it very hard for you, you know, to write this book? Did you get emotional at times when you wrote it, Donna?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, and that's part of the reason why I put it down, because just recalling all of that, it was like reliving it over and over. And it's a self-published book, so I didn't have an editor. And when you get ready to put it through to be published, you have to have everything really correct. So you have to overread it and overread it. And every time I read it, I would break down. And my husband, he came in when I was just transcribing it before I sent it to be published, and I was crying at the computer. And then he said to me, he said, look at where you are, because God has blessed me with a very beautiful home in New Jersey. And he told me, just look outside. And he said, you're not there anymore. And he brought me back, and he said, and I'm not him. So that was something that really made me just stop and say, okay, you're writing the book. But it was very difficult for me to write it.
That's what's up. Emma, I know you wanted to ask her a question in regards to, you know her. I mean, was it hard for, what did the book help her heal and stuff, Emma?
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask, do you feel that writing this book has helped you heal and come
yes.
to terms with the emotional struggles from the past?
Yes, yes, definitely. Even though before I actually finished it, I had went through therapy for 2 years, and when I left him, I didn't know who I was. I really didn't. I used to call myself his wife. In the book, his name, I changed all of the names, so I don't want to really say his name, but that
mm-hmm.
I used to identify myself as his wife when I would be introduced to people, and the therapist let me know that I didn't know who I was, and she actually asked me a question. She said, I want to speak about you, and she said, what do you like? What do you want out of life? And I started to just tell her about my family. I started talking about my mother and my sister and my son and him. And then she let me know at the end of the first session, she said, I asked you a question and you never talked about yourself. And she said, from now on, we're going to call it the Celebration of Donna. And that's what she named all of our sessions. And she's the one that actually helped me to discover who I was. And she really made me a stronger person. And then from there, of course, God was working on me. And even now, he has his hands just right all over me because this is my ministry that I'm doing, as well as telling my story. And it just made me a much stronger person to see the reaction that I have by just sharing the story with other people.
Wow. That's what's up. I know Emma has another question, but real quick, ladies, we have a caller on the line. I want to bring them in real quick. Caller, you're live on the line with Miss Donna Savage and the Street Queen. Peace. Caller, you're live on the line with Donna Savage and the Street Queens. Peace. Hello?
Maybe they just want to listen.
I guess so.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah, so, Carly, we appreciate you for just listening. So, Emma, you have another question for Miss Savage.
Okay. Can you please tell the listeners a little bit about the characters in your book?
Yeah, sure. The main characters is me and my ex-husband, but there's tons of characters, and I really didn't realize it until I started writing because I'm looking to make it into a movie, and I started to just write down. But there's tons of characters. Some people were in my life just for a brief period of time, and then some people were there for a long time. My son is, of course, in there. My entire family, as far as my sister, she had such things that happened to her as a child that really affected me, and it helped to make the decision for me to get married in the first place because as a child I experienced so much abuse at the hands of my mother, who was an alcoholic, and then she had so many people that just came into our lives that really were no good as far as children go, and that's why it's very important on the parents and how they really raise their kids and who they have around them because that really affects decisions later on in life. And then later on in the book, I have other characters that either worked with me or that came into my life through the church or, you know, and just on and on. It's like a lot of characters in the book.
I can imagine it's been because it took several years to write it, so mm-hmm. everybody that's mm-hmm. entered your life. Well, I just want to jump into real quick. Out of all the characters, which do you think most made an impact on what you were going through as far as maybe kind of giving you some, shedding some light on what you was going through?
Now helping me?
Yeah.
I think that actually when I left him, it was the guy that actually gave me the keys to his apartment. I think really and truly I can really say that he did because it was him of everyone that first gave me actually a place to go because I didn't have a place to go. And every time I thought about leaving him, he always threatened anyway that if I left him, he would kill me. So I would think about, well, where am I going to go in New York? Because I had a job and I didn't want to just up and leave my job. And mm-hmm. it was just a whole thought process that went into thinking about leaving him. And then when I thought about going to other boroughs, I said, no, he could just come there. And no one actually has said, okay, well, you can have my place or welcome me into their home. And then I had my son. But this young man, he's the one that reached into his bag when I was beat down really bad. And he said, here, I have a small studio apartment in New Jersey. You can have it. And,
wow.
and I think he was the one that really is the one that helped me.
God bless him.
Yes.
Well, wow, man.
Yeah, God puts angels in our lives.
Yes.
And he definitely was an angel for you.
Yes.
Do you stay in contact with the gentleman?
Not really. He used to work with me on my other job, and me and him got involved. But what he let me know, that was another thing too, was that he didn't allow me to give him control, because it was a conversation that he and I had where he said I was trying to actually give him control of my life because I wasn't used to being on my own. So when he said that to me, that was a turning point. And when he wouldn't take control of my life, he allowed me to take control of my own life. So he really helped me, and I don't think that he knows how much, but I did send him a copy of the book, so
wow,
he should know.
That's excellent. That is excellent. You never know, you know, the impact you cause on somebody's life, you know, just doing an act of kindness, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Wow. Jarvita?
Well, you know, when God closes one door, he opens another one.
Yes, he does.
And,
yes, he does.
You know, speaking of which, you know, let's get back to, you know, your wonderful book that you put out, which is definitely a true survivor's guide for battered teens and women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, this book also provides plenty of resources from what mm-hmm. I can tell.
Yes.
Ms. Savage, what is the main thing a person should do if they suspect their teen is being abused?
They should speak to them. They should definitely sit down and talk to them non-judgmental, because so many times our teenagers don't want to go to their parents because they feel that they're going to get whipped or they're going to be judged or whatever it is. That's why we need to have an open relationship with our teenagers so that they can feel free to come to us and talk, because it's so much going on with the teenage abuse. And I did speak about it because God has allowed me actually to live out all of the scenarios of abuse, and I can identify with all that goes on. And sometimes with teenage girls, we may think that it's love when we have a boyfriend that doesn't want any other guy looking at us, or he wants to be with us all the time, and he doesn't allow us to even grow into a young lady. And it's very important to just watch and monitor your children, because the signs are there with them. They may come withdrawn, or they may start acting out in other ways, and even I wouldn't necessarily say drug use, but it could come along with it, because they will be trying to reach out for something, some type of attention, and you have to just take notice of all of the changes in your teenagers. It's very important.
That's what's, man, because the whole teen abuse issue is like very serious, and you, when you're young and you feel like, oh, this dude, you know, he wants to snatch me up, oh, he want me a bit more than any other chick, but that's the start of the controlling process.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the start of the controlling process, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of teens, a lot of them are scared, they don't know who to talk to. Bringing this stuff to light, you know.
Exactly.
Okay. So, you know, bringing it to light is basically going to really help the situation out, you know, because a lot of people don't really talk about it as much. A lot of people talk about it as being grown women, but not really talking about it, you know, being as a teenager. Teenagers,
right.
You know, abused and stuff. Okay, so Ms. Donna,
mm-hmm.
What are some of the escape routes or plans that a woman should work on in escaping an abusive situation, whether she's with or without children?
Sure. Yeah, definitely you should have a safety plan right away. As soon as you see the signs of the abusive, whether it's the possessiveness or the jealousy, or just it's so many signs that are there. And as soon as you see it, you got to know that this is an abuser that you're dealing with. And then you start with, pack your bags and have some bags even in your car, or find some place that you can have an extra set of clothes and your keys and your important papers. It's just very, very important, because once you're out there, and that did happen to me before when I did leave, and you don't have anything with you, it's very hard to even get around. You may not have money. You have to have everything just set aside, and just keep two copies of everything so that you can have this extra stuff so that when you do get out there, you have it. Even with my sister, she used to keep some of my stuff at her place. And you have to just find someone that you trust enough, whether it's a friend or a neighbor or even a coworker, so that you can have something there set aside for you so that when you leave, you know where it's at and you can just go and get it. And your court documents also, keep them in a safe place because your paper trail is very important when you get into the court system. So it's just very important to have a safety plan. And one thing that's important that a lot of people don't recognize is when you live on a higher floor, say you live on the second or the third floor and you have to really get out, they have those rope ladders that you can have, and you have to keep that someplace safe so that he doesn't know where it's at, so that you can get out of a higher floor, because a lot of us don't live on just the first floor. And it's mm-hmm. just all kinds of things that you have to think about so that you can escape.
Mm-hmm. So in regards to the children, like, you know, you had, as you mentioned in the book, you call him Shay, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, you refer to your son as Shay.
Yes.
And having him, and, you know, having a smaller child or having a child, how do you manage to do all that? What do you have to give your child, like, warning signals, it's time for us to leave?
Yes. Yes, yes, because the children, maybe they're the ones that's going to have to call the police for you, and they should know how to dial 911 right away. And it's so sad when there's children involved because they see so much stuff. And I know from my own son, he saw a lot of things, and I had to actually cry on his shoulders many times because he would be the one that would bring me tissue, and he would say, "Don't cry, Mommy," and he would wipe away my tears. And I felt bad, but he was the only one that I had, and I couldn't help it because I was crying anyway. But when you have children, you have to definitely let them know when you hear certain things, or you've got to give them the signal, call 911 so that they can at least get the police there, and hopefully it won't be too late.
That's what's up. And, ladies, we're going to go to a quick commercial. So Donna and lady, just stand fast with me. We're going to go to a quick commercial because, you know, we got to pay the bills all the time, right? You know, so we're going to go to a quick commercial and we're going to come right back. You know, we're here. We have Donna Savage live in here. We're going to go to a quick commercial. Remember, you can call in at 347-826-7722. That's Radio Online Presents Street Queens interview with Donna Savage.
It's your girl, Lushy Lush, man. Did you ever think about picking up a magazine to see nothing but the hottest ladies that's doing hot things in the industry, from models to business owners? We trying to find out the beauty outside and the beauty within. So if you thought about that, pick up E2K Magazine at www.myspace.com/E2K Magazine or www.everythingthenumber2youknow.com. Or email them at e2kmagazine@gmail.com, man. It's nothing. Holla at your girl, man. Pick up E2K Magazine and support them in their movement, man. Like Nike say, just do it.
Attention, music connoisseur. Are you frustrated and aggravated from listening to conventional radio? Sick and tired hearing the same lame 20 songs over and over again? You need to be listening to blogtalkradio.com/LushRadioOnline. Lush Radio Online. Hosted by Lushy Lush. Lushy Lush has her ear to the street and plays all the new and independent artists out there. To listen to Lushy Lush, log on to blogtalkradio.com/LushRadioOnline. And don't forget to call into the station, 347-826-7722. Independent artists and record labels can submit music to Lush Radio Online MP3s@gmail.com. Lush Radio Online, you just officially got stamped.
All hail the street queens and all that we stand for, man. Introducing the street queens.
Every Thursday at 8 o'clock on the dot, we always talking about something important supporting and empowering women and supporting the community. Street Queens, the movement is live on the line with the queens, and we're live with a beautiful, remarkable survivor, Donna M. Savage, who wrote the book Blood and Tears of Domestic Violence, A Survivor's Revelation. Call in at 347-826-7722. We are talking about her remarkable story and her revelations and the things that she went through. We're going to go back to the line and open up the lines. We're back with Queen Jarvita and Queen Emma and Miss Donna Savage. Peace, ladies.
Peace.
Peace, peace, peace. So, you know, we're going back to Miss Donna Savage and going down with this wonderful interview, you know, talking about the different situations in regards to what she dealt with in regards to, you know, just telling her whole life story in this book. It's a survival book for young ladies, young teens, adults, males, females, anybody going through domestic violence. I know Emma would like to talk to you in regards to projects and stuff like that.
Yeah. What other projects are you working on other than the book? Like, what are your plans for this book now that has been published?
Okay. Yes. I started my training out here in New Jersey to become an official advocate, and I was working with a few of the agencies. But what I want to do is something that's different than what's offered in most agencies, which is I want to concentrate on the abusers, and I'm trying to get an abuser hotline established, a 24-hour abuser hotline, and the description of it is that I want it publicized just as much as the victim's hotline, or even more so, because we have so many murders going on and murder suicides, and it's not just the victims that are losing their lives, it's the abusers also. And even though I was a victim for all of those years, I don't hold animosity against abusers at all. I really believe that they need help and they need deliverance. Ultimately, they need deliverance from God. And the abuser hotline, I call it also starting out the Real Man Campaign, because I really want nonviolent men, preferably faith-based, so that they can be mentors to the abusers, and that when they do reach out, and I know that it's not going to be all that will reach out, but I know that some of them will reach out for help, and they can change their lives because it's a choice that they are doing for being an abuser in the first place, and it can be a choice for them to be a non-abuser. So I know that there is going to be some that will come forward for help, but if we don't get it in place, we'll never know how many will come forward. And that's what I'm working on right now. I talk about it to everyone because I see how many murders are going on. And it's senseless it's just senseless for you to get into a relationship and then you have to die, you know. And like I said, it's not just the victims, it's the abusers that are losing their lives also. So if we can just concentrate just on saving lives and not even on blaming, you know, who's right or wrong, just get the help out there and leave in place what's already here, which, of course, we need our victim services as long as we're going to have abusers. But I think that it's going to cut down on the victim services if we can concentrate more on abusers.
And that's
I'm glad definitely that that you said that, because not too many people realize that the abusers the majority of them have been abused themselves,
mm-hmm.
and are carrying all this guilt and all this anger and don't know how to channel it or don't
mm-hmm.
have really any organizations that really would help them, because they are they call it they're not the victims.
Right.
So since they see them, you know, as they're not the ones the victim, there's no help for them. And you're absolutely
mm-hmm.
right. This is like a full circle. If they don't get the help, then it just continues to happen.
Exactly. And it's going to happen even more so. And what actually is in place now, as we all know, when the victims are told, and this is just what I was told, is to go to court, get an order of protection, which we already know so many are dying with the order of protection in hand. And that's
mm-hmm.
because that abuser is not getting the proper help that he needs by being ordered by the court for anger management, because that that's not the solution. The anger management sometimes only makes them even angrier because they're highly offended that the victim had the nerve to take them there after they already done put the fear in them and that they are already abusing them. So you're going to have an abuser that's either in jail, angrier, or he's either been served with papers or order of protection, and he's just going to get angry, and that's why a lot of them do go forward and kill. And I really think that it's reversed. It needs to be the abuser first and then the victim, because we're going to have to get to the core of the problem, which is the abuser.
Yep. And I know Ms. Javita would like to ask you some further questions also.
Well, I'd like to say, first off, that I definitely agree with that 100%, you know, because you do need to reach the abusers. And I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because I feel the same way, especially when it comes to small children, that when kids come from abusive families, like breaking the chain in the cycle, they should have to go through, you know, therapy and training as well. And unfortunately, that's not necessarily a requirement from parents who with kids who come from abusive homes. And that's one of the things that I definitely like to encourage and stress, is the importance of getting that, because when a child likes to emulate what they see and they internalize that for later on in life. And the key to saving any child in domestic violence situations is to definitely take them out of that situation and get them that help and let them know that, hey, this is not how you treat a woman. This is not how a man should treat you. And that's why I have to give it up again, like I said previously on the first show, to states like Rhode Island that have programs out to teach young girls and young men about domestic violence and how to watch out for the signs and how to recognize the signs in themselves and know how to address that and properly channel that so that they can deal with that rage or that anger in an appropriate manner.
Exactly.
Without taking it out on somebody in a harmful way. So, unfortunately, every state doesn't have that, but that's something that I'd like to see get pushed in other states.
Sure.
But with that, I definitely want to get to the next question. I know you answered most of it for me. Ms. Savage, do you have your own programs for domestic violence now? Or if not, what programs or the organizations are you working with currently?
Yes, actually, and I just got ordained. I'm an evangelist, so I do go around and I speak at the churches, and I'm going to go full force speaking in colleges, high schools, everything. And I know right now it's just me by myself that I'm doing everything, but I will have a crew and a team, I know that, in the near future. And I really want to develop. If I can't get other agencies to go forward with the abuser hotline, then I'm really planning on doing my own domestic violence agency. And I did have a name already, the World Against Domestic Violence. And I really would love to see the abuser hotline put in. And not only that, but also all of the services that go along with it, as far as the volunteer counseling and just the mentorship of real men, because I say strongly that real men do not abuse. And I know that in this society we have different couples, and it's not just a male. So I do say an abuser hotline, so that anybody that's abusive can call and get services. And that's one thing that I'm working on, and a documentary I'm getting ready to do for domestic violence. And I'm also trying to get my book out there to be a powerful movie, because I know that it will send forth a strong message, as I'm told that the book does. So, and I think that the domestic violence needs to be, just like you said, in every state, because we have such a vast amount of the murders going on. It's just continuing, and it just gets crazier and crazier. And we need to really continue to get it out there.
Because the abusers do get younger and younger.
Yeah.
With the amount of information out there, it's outrageous at the advanced stages of people and just their mindset. And that's why I wanted to ask you, well, you answered my questions in terms of, well, what are your other plans for the future?
I'm writing another book also, and it's to do with this book, but it's going to be about AIDS, because I've had a lot of experience with just different people, not just my brother who I talk about and my ex-mother-in-law, but I've known so many people, and I think that that's something, even though there's plenty of things out here talking about it, but I know that my book on that is going to be an eye-opener also, because that's not talked about as much, even though we know that so many have died of AIDS, but that's going to be my next book that I'm hoping to have out for the spring.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's wonderful. That's definitely wonderful.
Lush, before you go into your next question, I just wanted to touch something that Donna said before we keep going about her speaking about the real men teaching men in the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
That's real important because, you know, I mean, I've dealt with abuse pretty much all my life. But one of the relationships that I had when I was able to talk to my abuser a couple of years later down the line, he explained to me that, you know, him growing up, he never was around no real men.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't know how to be a man. You know, his samples of being a man was him watching his stepfather beat up his moms, mm-hmm. abuse his sister, you know, batter him. So he didn't have no other male figure really to look at. I mean, yeah, in the TV, but they don't, you know, nobody like that. He could, an uncle is a person down the block in the building. He really never really seen any man,
mm-hmm.
you know, example of a real man. So he then didn't know. All he can imitate is what he was around, which was the abuser, his stepfather that was the abuser. And so he's just lived with that, you know. So that's really important that they're able to fellowship with other men and they can actually see, you know, example of that, that you can still be a man without hitting your woman, you know.
Exactly.
Just because, you know, that doesn't make you a man, because you can give her a black eye and you can scare her for her to say what she wants, as opposed to be with someone that's independent and you don't have, you know, you don't feel any type of way that the woman could be just as strong as you. And there's no, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. If anything,
mm-hmm.
you guys should, you know, compliment each other.
Exactly.
But that goes back to not having that, you know, those type of examples, other than in TV, like I said, but any, like, program that they can go to and actually have examples of men, but that it doesn't belittle them.
Right, exactly, exactly. And it's not even about pitying them or minimizing what they've done. It's just about saving lives, and that's the whole focus of the campaign that I have really visioned. And it's really something else, because one thing that I did want to do is to send out a public service announcement, and it will be in the form of a mini play. And I have wrote it out. And when abusers talk to other abusers, they're going to get empowered to go forth and abuse even more, because I think that maybe we even heard it even on TV or something, but you can just see where an abuser may run into another abuser, say in the store or the bar or whatever, and then he may be describing how he just had to beat the mess out of his woman, and then the abuser would say, yeah, you know, I had to do the same thing. Yeah, that's right. And then there that goes. And then
mm-hmm.
he may be faced with another man. Maybe he's going to be a neutral guy who won't say one thing wrong or right. But then when
mm-hmm.
he's faced with a real man, then that real man is going to tell him, no, that's not the way that you're supposed to handle your woman. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I did hear Judge Mathis. I do listen at him sometimes, and I know that he's one that's against abusers, and he calls them cowards. And he said a real man would never abuse his woman. And it's true. It's true. Those are not real men. Those are cowards, because they will not fight another man.
Mm. True. And, you know, with that, I just want to send a quick shout-out to my other street queens that can't be here. I know for different reasons and stuff, because, you know, this is a very touchy situation, you know. And shout-out to Felicia Sabree. Shout out to Miss Toy. Shout out to CG Michelle. Shout out to Lissette, who is actually, she's feeling sick But she's actually in the chat room. Her voice is gone, but she's typing to me right now. So
feels better, Lizette.
So you know, we shout out. Lizette actually has a street team with Streets on Mind. .com, and she actually says she wants to help and volunteer her time in regards to, you know, helping you with media and everything like that. So basically,
Wow, great. All
of us as Street Queens, the movement, have our own different assets. Jarvita is a advocate and a model and does a lot of business plans to helping you in regards to structuring things. KR Marketing. She does a lot of, publicity, PR work also, and marketing strategies. We have Miss Emma, who actually has E2K Magazine. You know, maybe, you know, we can, you know, get an interview, you know, with that, you know, get you an interview in regards to that.
E2K is a women's lifestyle magazine. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, our market is women. So, I mean, this is something that definitely we need to send out to the masses.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm.
So we got E2K Magazine. We have Streets on Mind. You know, they basically have a street team. They hit all the blocks of New York. So whatever flies to anything, you know, they'll definitely help out with hitting the block in regards to that. And then, you know, we have Ms. C.G. Michelle. She writes excellent articles, and she's coming out with her own magazine, A-Game Magazine, and doing her thing. And then we have Alicia Sabrina, that has Music Mania. They do live interviews and stuff. And Streets on Mind also does live interviews. And, you know, Lush Radio Online, me, myself, and Miss Toy, she does publicity. So, I mean, we all got your back. You know,
great,
with the 1-800 number and all that, if we have to research it, they can help you get that, whatever, you know, information we have for, like, your nonprofit and all that, you know, just sit down with us and we'll help you.
Thank you.
And when we go into the schools, when we start going into the schools, you know, if you can come down, we would love to have you. Come and talk to the young ladies and the young men there at the high schools, because I work at the high schools with children that have learning disabilities, and just talking to them and mentoring them. So we definitely got your back. The Street Queens, the movement, is not a movement for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Definitely got your back in regards to that. So any support you need, we got you. And any organizations we could touch bases to further your project, you know what I'm saying? And
Thank you. Which was
a question. Way, but I guess I might have answered my own question. But what can you do as Street Queens? You and what you need to do, man.
Wow, you actually did answer that. And you know, I will visit you down there, too, because I plan on really traveling all over the place, because I know that God has given this to me, and I have such a passion for what I'm doing, and I know that it will help out lives out there and just saving so many. And like I said, I'm not just for victims, even though I was a victim, but I'm looking for the abusers too, because it don't make sense for someone to take out your life and everyone else's life just because you were in a relationship. That doesn't make sense. And it has to stop. And it's something that needs to be added out there more than what it is as far as the system goes, because everyone knows that the system is not working the way it is. It needs more added so that we can reach out to the abusers out there.
That's what's up. Quick question. Lissette is in there because she can't talk. Her voice is hoarse and she ain't feeling well. But she typed, she said, the question to you is, do you think that videos, TV, media play a part in how these abusers see women?
Yes, definitely, definitely. And it's so sad with the extent that the videos have went to disrespect women so much, and just the lyrics, forget it. It's just went too far. And, you know, of course, I'm 44 years old, so I saw when all of the rap music first came out, and I saw how it was and how it was structured, and just to see that it went from that to where it is, and where it's, I don't know, really listen at rap music now, but just to hear some of the lyrics that was in these songs just in the recent years that I can remember is total disrespect, you know, to women. And that's something that has empowered the younger men to look at women as just nothing, and to look at them as something, I guess, that would warrant abuse. And then the young women, they don't have the respect also for themselves, because they allow it, and they're the ones that's in the videos also. you know, and performing all kinds of lewd acts or whatever, disrespecting themselves. And we as women, we have to know that we are precious, we are gifts, and we have to carry ourselves with respect.
That's what's up, that's what's up. And make sure callers, you can call in anonymously at 347-826-7722. And remember, the sixth caller that calls in today will receive a free book from Miss Donna Savage. So make sure you call in. I mean, the book is deep, man. Sixth caller that calls in gets a free book from Donna Savage, The Blood.
I'm calling six times in.
So definitely call in. It's an inspirational book. It's a wonderful book, man. It's a book for survivors. It you can pour out. It's a lot of healing in this book. You can relate to this book. This woman is a beautiful. I mean, if you see her, she is beautiful. Go on my MySpace. On her page, she is a beautiful woman, strong woman. She's beautiful. And it touches me just to have her on the show. We're just so happy to have her on the show and honored. Call in at 347-826-7722. You're the sixth caller. You will receive a free book from Donna Savage, okay? We have a couple of questions to ask you, but before we go, because those are almost like the ending things, but we basically, I want to go with you and let's take a tour of your book.
Okay.
For those who haven't read the book and you know, want to get quick snippets of the book, we're going to take a walkthrough of her book, The Blood and Tears of Domestic Violence. Now, Donna, this is a roller coaster of emotional, you know, physical, verbal abuse, starting from childhood. You basically, you know, described you coming out of your mom's room and you refer to your mom. I love the way you refer to your mother as mommy, and you know, you just always talk to her just in a sweet, nurturing way throughout the whole book. No matter what you were going through, you talked to her, you just said you had this nurturing way of saying mommy through the whole book.
Yeah.
You know, you never said anything like I was angry, you know, I'm angry or nothing like that. You just had this wonderful and kind heart, just like I just referred to my mommy, even though the things she put you through. Now, coming out your mom's womb, and this depicting what she went through and everything like that, you know, because you know when you had your child and all the stuff, did you have like a similar reference to when your mom had you and your brother?
When I had my son?
When you had your son and you described when, you know, they had to give you the C-section and everything. Your mom had to go through the same thing while having the twins, and actually they were triplets. If you guys didn't. Actually, was a triplet, but the other triplet died in her mom in the mom's womb because when they were fighting to get out, they actually kind of like kicked the child, so the child kind of like died in the womb. So she was actually a triplet. So it's her and her brother that came out and stuff. You know, so what I'm making reference to is like in a portion of the book, Donna has her child Shay that she refers to, and that we're going to go into that in depth, but it's basically like she had that birth. Did you reflect on when your mom had you guys and how hard it was for her and your mom almost died with that situation?
Yes, I had a horrible delivery. I actually came from under the anesthesia, and it was horrible because I was open, and I had a C-section, and all I can remember is I was nervous like crazy anyway, because I was having this major surgery, and then I just opened my eyes, and when I did open my eyes, all I saw was the light up there, that big light over the operating table, and I said to myself in the split second, oh my God, my eyes are open, I'm woke, and then that's when all of this pain hit, and then I saw myself wide open. And the anesthesiologist came over, and he shot more anesthesia in me, and then I was out again. But but I came from under the anesthesia during the surgery.
Oh, wow, that was like the real, like a real crazy. So I was like, you know, did she feel the same way in regards to referring her mother in the same situation of almost dying? Like, they called them like they called you like a miracle baby with the kids because, you know, they didn't know if, you know, the mother was going to survive or the kids because it was like, you know, it was a crazy situation, Donna coming out and everything like that. But, you know, God has always been a divine intervention for Donna throughout this whole book, you know. So, you know, so even from birth. So, you know, you being so light, you know, you talking about yourself being light, you had to deal with the issue of people you calling you white girl and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So how was that, you know, in dealing with that situation?
It was very hard, and especially his mother, she was one that she even asked him, she said, why you want a little girl that's so light-skinned? She said she looked like a little white girl, and that hurt me because I didn't really consider myself one way or the other. I just knew who I was, and I had to grow up, yes, with a lot of the hatred between the dark skin and light skin and stuff like that. But with him coming into my life at such an early age, I met him when I was 14. He actually just sheltered me from all of the other females or whatever, so I didn't have a normal teenage childhood because I was already married. And I started dating him at 14, and then he just smothered me so much until even, you know, all the way through until we got married.
Mm-hmm. And the points in the book where, you know, you had the man, Mr. Harold, who actually was apparently the guy who was, you know, because through the book, you know, you got her mother, who actually, you know, the father had left, and the mother was there with all the children trying to, you know, survive. You know, sometimes women, this point where we want to have a man in our life, just basically to, you know, have that father figure. But sometimes it's not really worth it, you know what I'm saying, at the end route. And I know your mother had that situation in regards to having Mr. Harold in you guys' life. And explain and tell us about that whole situation with Harold and stuff like that.
Yes, she met him actually after my grandmother died. And then he automatically started bringing over alcohol, and he turned her into an alcoholic. And then he was a pedophile, so he actually had his eyes on all of her children. And he wound up getting to my sister, my older sister, and I found out about it first. And then from there, he was just in my sister's life, and she was only 10 years old. So from there, he just started molesting her. And in the book, I cut it off at a certain point because, you know, that's my sister's story. And but she wound up marrying him at age 18, and she had 4 kids for him, but he had molested her since she was 10 years old, and he was originally with my mother.
Wow. Yep. I mean, the story is powerful. And from that transition, you know, there was a lot of anger from, you know, the character, which was your sister that you referred to as Angela. And Angela was very mad at that time because she was so confused
mm-hmm.
with him robbing her of her innocence and stuff like that, you know. And, you know, from that situation, you know, you go from there going through the abuse after the abuse. And then even your mom became
mm-hmm.
at one point that used to be on you guys, right?
Yes. And that was horrible when she would get drunk, and she would just come in, and we would be asleep, and she would come in, and 3 o'clock in the morning, all you would feel is a belt, and you couldn't see because it was dark, and she would just start beating us with the belt, 3 o'clock in the morning when she would be drunk.
It was. I mean, if you read the story, I mean, it was parts when I just had to put the book down because I tell you, I cried. And then going from there, and then meeting this guy that you refer to as Sean in the book, right?
Yeah.
As you refer to as Sean in the book, and which is your prior ex. I mean, you meet this guy, and he's like how many years older than you? Like
he was 3 years older than me. We met in high school. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that being I was with the abusive mother, I thought really and truly that I was doing the right thing by getting with him because I felt that I could have a normal life, and I wanted, you know, just we as growing up, we didn't have money, so I felt that he had a good job. He had a potential, you know, to make a lot of money, and then I would get a job, and we would have a family, and I thought that that was the road that I was going to go down, but I didn't know, you know, I was marrying someone that was just so abusive.
Yeah, and the you know, the whole description of the abuse from mom, the abuse from Mr. Harold and all that stuff, and, you know, and Mr. Harold thought that he was going to be able to, you know, he didn't just want to mess with the daughters, he wanted to actually mess with her, one of her brothers also.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he was a very sick man, you
yes.
know. And then going from that point, going into, you know, this whole Sean situation. Sean was this guy that, you know, in the book it almost seemed, the way I saw it is that, you know, Donna, you know, referring to you, felt like, you know, that was her escape route, all of the anguish and all that she went through to this man, you know. And with him, there became the control. And in there, I said that the first time he slapped you in the book,
mm-hmm.
I know you were kind of shocked. Like, explain that whole leading up to that, because all that time he used to give you money and,
yes.
you know, take you out, buy you things and treat you all nice. And then
mm-hmm.
explain that first time when that whole situation happened when he first slapped you.
Yes, we were still in high school, actually, and school was almost out. And we were going to play hooky from school, and we were going to just go and go downtown shopping or whatever. And he had to go by his house to pick up something. So we walked on over to his house, and I was standing outside waiting on him. And a guy came past, and he said hi to me. He said, hi, pretty girl, like that. And I didn't say anything because I knew that he was jealous. But even though he was in the house, I just said, okay, I'm not going to say anything. And then he came out the house as the guy was speaking. And then he came right over to me, and he said, what did the guy say to you? And I said, he just said hi. And then he slapped me in the street right in front of everyone real hard, and I couldn't believe it. And then he pulled me from there. He pulled me inside the house, and he threw me on the bed, and he jumped on top of me, and he ripped my blouse, and he started saying, this is what I did to the last girl that disrespected me, and you don't disrespect me. And that was the first time. But the cycle started then, because then he started crying, and he started crying uncontrollably, and he started apologizing and saying, I'm sorry. And I didn't know what was going on, because I had never went through that before. And then when I saw that he was crying so much and so hard, and he promised he would never do it again, then that's when I said, okay, well, he's never going to do that again. And that was when I was 15, and he didn't do it again until we were married, and I was 16. So it took him a whole year that he didn't do it again until after we were married.
Wow. And that's, you know, and we're going to go more into the book. I'm going to open up the lines right now for callers. This is going to be the first one. I told you the sixth caller gets a free book, so we're going to open up the line. 212, you're live on the line with Ms. Donna Savage. Wonderful author and the Street Queens, Emma and Jarvita, and your girl, Lushy Lush. Peace.
Hello, my sisters. How are y'all?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. This is Raina Miranda of DianoSpirit.com. I'm just listening
to... Hey, Raina.
Yes.
Hey, Raina.
Hey. I'm listening to the stories, and it's just flashing back to when I was in high school many, many moons ago. Right now I'm 40, going on 41, but if anybody was to see me, they wouldn't think about that. But back in the days, when in the 80s, my boyfriend would get upset if I would say hi to any of my peeps, and they were males because I had a lot of male friends. And he would beat the shit out of me in front of everybody. And he wouldn't do it in front of my family, but he would do it in the street.
Mm.
And I got out of that abusive relationship, and Afterwards, about a few years later, I got married with my son's father, and he became very abusive to me, and me and him had it out in my house.
Wow.
That I almost cut him myself.
Wow.
And I just, like, you know, that was crazy, and I was pregnant with our son, with our oldest son. So, you know, it's crazy, but, I mean, like, I listen to your show every week. I try to make it to the show, to listen to the show, and I always catch the archives. But this sister right here, she has courage to actually come out and say what she had to say, because that no man should be hitting a woman.
That's true. That's
because
true.
A man came from a woman, so how is he going to hit a woman?
That's true.
Well, that's what they have to be taught, though. Unfortunately, not every man really knows that. They weren't taught that. We learn things because we were taught by our parents or our neighbors or our community. So if there's certain men that are not taught that, then, you know, then they just act on what they've been taught. And that's the cycle that we're trying to break.
Yeah, and it's a vicious cycle because of the fact is that you also have to – it's not that I'm condoning that a man should be beating a woman, but at the same time, you also have to look about why he's doing it. Where is he getting it from? Is he watching – as a child, is he watching it on TV? Is he watching it in his own home? You know what I'm saying? Or is that guy that inept or incapable of actually feeling, you know, regret for doing it and then say, listen, I'm not going to do it again, but then the vicious cycle comes back. You know what I'm saying? And it's going to get to the point that women are just – women like her and like myself who get tired of that nonsense – will eventually fight back and say, you know what, that's it. That's why I could understand how certain women, and it's not that I'm saying, you know, but I'm saying that's why certain women can actually hang out with other women or they become, or they get involved with other women because of that situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and no, not to say that there's nothing wrong because truly I have found that a lot of women have been done wrong by men and they've become on and engage in relationships with same-sex relationships due to the fact they've been abused by men.
It is so true. Well, listen, I don't want to take too much of your time on this, but I would love to continue talking about this, but it's like it's a very emotional topic, and it's like it makes me angry, and I know it makes you guys angry to know that men are out there doing stuff like that to other women.
Thank you so much, Raina, for calling in, man, and we appreciate your presence, man. And call in any time when you want to, man, because we appreciate people like you, man.
Yeah. I mean, because it's like it's getting to the point that us sisters got to look out for each other. That's it. And, you know, and you're holding it down. You're holding out the East Coast, you know, keeping it on smash. And, you know, and in the words of my ancestors, the Taínos, which is thank you, my family and my sisters, my nitus, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like it's hard. And me repping Dominican and me and Lisa said we've been friends for a while now. And we touch on the same topics. We always talk about this. So, I mean, I always catch the show whenever I can, even if I do catch the archives. And I find your topics very, very interesting. And I wish you and my other sisters all the love in the world, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
That's what's
thank
up.
You.
That's
thank
what's up.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
Gracias, Raina.
Nada que, mama. Te veo.
That's what's up. That's what's up, man. Raina is a beautiful woman, you know, sharing her story. That's what it is, man. We live with Donna Savage and, you know, Emma E2K Magazine, Javita, you know what I'm saying, you know, doing the thing. She's an avid, an activist and also, you know, doing KR Marketing, doing a 1-2, man. Make sure you guys call in at 347-826-7722. The sixth caller that calls in gets a free book from Miss Donna Savage. We were basically taking you a tour of her book and talking and depicting about the different things that she went through in the book. And so we were talking, Donna, in regards to, the first time he hit you. And the more and more and more you went deeper into the relationship, you know what I'm saying, became more controlling.
Yeah.
You know, more controlling, you know, in everything, you know. It's like every time he would beat you, he would always cry, you made me do this. But then when you went into the fact that you found out from the family that the mother had been abused.
Yeah.
And there's a crazy story in here where she goes and finds out from the mother that the ex-husband is crazy, is actually not, he wasn't crazy, but their father was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Actually almost cut off her sister-in-law's finger, chasing them around with a butcher knife. And if you look at her ex-husband's mother's face, it's kind of two-toned. Explain to the people about that story.
Yes, yes. Yes, she had 10 kids, and it was her and the husband who he had been very, very abusive to her. He wouldn't allow her to, she didn't work, so she kept having baby after baby after baby, and he was a sex fiend. And she would even told me herself that she would get home from the hospital, and if she didn't automatically have sex with him, he would take the bed apart, and she had to sleep in the chair. So that's how she had so many babies year after year after year, and they were really close together in age. And then one day she was cooking breakfast for the 10 kids, and she was cooking a big pot of grits, and he came downstairs and just threw the grits in her face. He picked up the whole pot of grits and threw it in her face. And all of the kids were sitting at the table, so they all saw it. And he told me that all he saw was his mother's whole skin on her face just melt off.
Oh, my Jesus.
Yeah. And she stayed with him for, I believe it was 22 years she stayed with him.
Wow.
And she went through all types of abuse. So his father was, even though I went through a lot with him, his father was even crazier.
Tell him about the TV situation, just to watch TV.
Yeah, he would lock the TV because they had a brownstone, a two-family brownstone, and they couldn't even keep tenants because he would accuse her of whoever was the tenant. So the apartment upstairs was always vacant, and he would take the TV and lock it up into the apartment so she couldn't watch TV while he was at work. And he was a cab driver, so he would always come by in his cab, and she would have to go and crawl out the window to go upstairs into the apartment because he would lock everything just to watch TV, and then she would have to make sure she was back into the apartment before he got home. And then sometimes he would ride by in the cab, and she said if it was snowing and he saw footprints, even though it would be the mailman's footprints, she would get beat because he would say that she had a man in the house.
This is. I'm telling you, if you read this book, I'm telling you, you're going to cry. I don't care who you are, how strong you are going to cry, because this book is so deep. And then from talking to the ex-husband's family, right? You know, they didn't have it all cracked up in the head. And you know how we are, young, and we, you know, say we fall in love, and that's all the man you think of. Your mama tell you don't marry him.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents say don't mess with him. But we still keep on going because we feel that sense of, hey, it's anything better than what I just went through. You know what I'm saying? So from leaving that situation, there's another transition in Donna's life where, you know, she actually, you know, she's getting beaten every day. And then from that, you know, there was a point when you actually had to have the abortion at one time. You know, you had to have the abortion. That was the first baby that you were supposed to have, right?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
She had the abortion, and then, you know, just looking at it and her describing the baby coming out and all that because, you know, the difference. But if you read it's more in detail. But going through that and then actually, you know what I'm saying, from that, then you know there was she was actually going into to school and everything, right? She tried to go to school and stuff. There was actually a point where she had got raped by a police officer. They are here to help us, but she actually got raped by they're here to protect us, but she actually got raped by a police officer. Explain, go into detail in regards to that situation.
Yes, that was when I was 19 years old, and I hadn't told my mother or anyone about the abuse because I felt really that my mother couldn't help me, first of all, and plus she had told me not to get married, so I didn't tell anyone. And then I met this police officer at the train station, and he came over to me, and I thought, okay, well, my mother had always told me that the blue coats, which that's what she used to call them, and she called them a lot when she was drunk, and she would always say, the blue coats is our friend. So I thought, okay, I'm just meeting this cop. I never talked to a cop before, so he's going to help me. And then I started telling him about the abuse, and then he said, well, let's go upstairs and have something to drink or eat. So he took me to Burger King, and then he went and got on the phone, and then he came back to the table, and he said, I tell you what, could you ride with me to my sister's house? I got to pick up something. So at that point, I'm saying to myself, okay, well, I know that I got to be home by a certain time. And I was like, oh, well, no, because, you know, I got to be home. So he said, don't worry about it. She doesn't live far. He said, and I'll drop you off. And he said, wherever you want. So he takes me to his sister's house, or I suppose she was his sister. But it was a lady there, and she had two kids. And then she left. They had words really loud in the kitchen, and then she took the kids and she left. And then when she left, he started taking me by the hand, and he started pulling me through the house. And I was pulling back, and I said, where are you taking me? So he said, you know what we came here for. And then he takes me into this bedroom, and he was in full uniform. And then he had his gun on under his jacket. So he takes his jacket off, and I'm thinking that he's going to kill me because all I see is the gun. So he took the holster off, and he took it, and he hung it on the bedpost. And that was to further intimidate me, and then he raped me. And I wound up being pregnant from that, too, because at that point I had just had my son. My son was only 6 months old, and I went through the terrible pregnancy with him, and then here the cop raped me. So, and I wound up being pregnant right after that.
And the crazy thing about it, the former ex-husband blamed her.
Yeah.
For what she when she got pregnant, blamed her and said she was the cause of all of that, and he didn't care. He said, it's your problem, you deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
She had to find some way to make money to pay for an abortion to get rid of it. You know, it was crazy. And you know, her, at that time also the transition of her being pregnant. She got pregnant thinking that being, you know, at that time being pregnant, maybe he won't hit me, maybe her husband won't hit her. But that ceased for a couple of times, you know, for a little bit, and then the beating commenced. And tell us the shocking moment with you while you were pregnant that he did.
Yeah, I was 8.5 months pregnant with my son, and I thought, sure, because we had talked about having a baby, and I thought that by having a baby it was going to complete our family and that maybe that's what was missing and that the abuse would stop. But at 8.5 months pregnant, he started an argument about something. And I was always concerned about my baby. I ate very healthy. I drank almost a gallon of milk every day. I was always just concentrating on my baby. And this particular night, he pulled me off of the couch, and then he threw me on the floor, and then he kicked me in my stomach. And I was 8.5 months pregnant with my son. And when he did that, and then he left me there, and he left. And I worried about my son until he was born. And I went into the delivery thinking that something was wrong with my baby because he wound up being two weeks overdue, I was, when I had him. And I thought sure that he was dead in my womb.
Oh, goodness.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm telling you, the story is so deep. Like I said, 6 caller that calls in gets a free book from Donna Savage, 347-826-7722. And you know, not just from that, I mean the things that there was a time and place where Donna actually wanted to pursue a modeling career, and she wanted to, you know, advance herself and do her thing. She actually went to the cosmetology school, you know, got a certificate and everything, but she was so shook because he would constantly, anywhere that Donna was going in this book, he would always find a way to hunt her down, intimidate her while she's at work, dealing with people, you know what I'm saying? It was craziness.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was a point in time where Donna wanted to pursue a modeling career, okay? He would constantly try to abuse her in her face, you know, tell us about that situation in regards to your eye and teeth and all that situation.
Yeah, especially when I started pursuing the modeling, he was so jealous. And then he would start to actually, during each attack, he would concentrate on my face, and I would always have to block my face because he would try and either hit me in the face, or he didn't really care. He just wanted to mess up my face. And it was one night when he was just pointing, and I'm trying to block, but he kept coming closer and closer with his finger, just pointing. And then the next thing you know, I felt this pain that I had never felt before, and I couldn't see. My eyes automatically closed, and one of my eyes, my left eye, it was bleeding. And then I couldn't open either eye, so he had to take me out. He had to carry me. And I, to this day, I don't know what hospital he took me to, but he took me to a hospital. And all I remember is the doctor was asking me what happened. I didn't tell him that he did it, but he put some kind of ointment in my eye. And then that's when I was able to open my eye just so that he can examine it. And then I couldn't see for 3 days straight. And my son, he was still under a year old when he did that. So I had to actually literally sit in my house. I couldn't see for 3 days because I couldn't open either eye because he said that he had scratched my nerve that controlled the opening and closing of both of my eyes. And I had to just try and get my son to do what he could as a little baby. And basically he had to take off work and take care of him when I couldn't take care of him. And it was terrible. And I still have that scratch in my eye.
And, Did he apologize for that?
He apologized for just about everything after he would do it. It would always be the same scenario where he would cry and he would say, oh, I'm sorry, look at what I did to you. And even with that, it would be sometimes he would be saying that. And then, but during the attack, he would say, good for you, good for you. You shouldn't have made me do that. You shouldn't have made me do that to you.
Mm.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it was a lot.
And you know, the whole thing, and also, he also, like, chipped her tooth, her front tooth. And
he broke my tooth.
Yeah.
He broke my tooth with a bottle, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really, dude was crazy, okay? And, you know, just her son having to deal with all that stuff, you know. And see, the cycle continues from the cycle of her coming from the mom and the mom being abused to the guy that she falls in love with thinking that he's man right and he comes from an abusive family. Then in turn, he takes that and takes that anger out on Donna. So, you know, Donna tried her best, you know, to get jobs and going through different jobs and, you know. So we talk about protective order. There was a situation where Donna actually had the strength to get a protective order. Tell us about that situation.
Yes. When I was working for the police department and I had met a officer there and I had never heard about actually an order of protection. And what I did know about it, I thought it was for maybe like murderers or stuff like that. I had no idea that it was for me. And I started telling the officer about the abuse, and then he said to me, he said, you need an order of protection. And I asked him how to go about getting it, and then he told me how to get it. And I went down and I got the temporary one. And then after he was served, when he was served with the temporary, he said, this is just a piece of paper and this is not going to stop me. So he further threatened me, and then we went for the permanent one, and the judge, he issued the permanent one, and he was visibly moved by some of the abuse that I had to describe, and then I had to use it because he assaulted me one night, and that was a terrible night because so many officers had to respond, and four officers got hurt by him because he went into the room, and they had to really get him because he restrained and he wouldn't let them take him out. And I really thought that they were going to kill him because he wouldn't let them take him. And he started fighting with all of the cops and three of them had shoulder injuries and then one had an arm injury behind that night. And but when they did take him out, though, he was really beat up.
And he get a taste of his own medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and when we say in the taste of the young medicine, there's a point in the book where I think all women has been abused. You're like, you ask yourself, man, okay, he can beat on me, but he can't beat on a man. Most abusers tend not to beat on another man, but beat on women because they are weak, they are cowards. A lot of them are going through their own insecurities. A lot of them are really honestly dealing with the demons of their past, from past relationships, and the form of not having control. They want to consume you in their control. There's a point in the book where Donna is with her child, and they're at a shopping, place, shopping market, and, you know, the gentleman that was her husband at that time in the book basically said, you know, every time somebody's looking at Donna or anytime somebody steps on a shoe, he was the type of guy that said, hey, who are you effing looking at or who are you this and using all kinds of profanity, you know? And he didn't care who it was, never scared. Now, there was one situation, he messed with the right one, mm-hmm. and he got his butt whipped
yep.
in the book.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
got his butt whipped.
Yep.
Tell us about that situation, and also after telling us that situation, tell us, did you have a slight bit of smirk like, yeah, you got your butt whipped. Go mm-hmm. ahead and tell us about that, girl.
Yeah, that particular day, and in the summertime, because he was a very muscular guy, so in the summertime especially, he would cut off the sleeves. Any T-shirt he had, he would cut the sleeves off, and he would walk around, and a lot of people were scared of him. So anywhere we went, he would argue whether it was somebody, like you said, stepping on his foot on the train. And so many times I would say, oh, my goodness, why do you have to argue with everyone? But he had everyone scared of him, basically, especially even in the neighborhood. So this one particular day, we had rented a car, not even our own car. And we parked in front of the supermarket. And then as soon as we parked, he said, did you feel that? So I said, feel what? He said, that MF hit our car. So I said, no, I didn't feel it. So then he said, well, I'm going to tell him he can't effing drive. So then I said, no. I said, why are you going to get out and argue with him? So he said, no, F that. And then he gets out the car, and I'm looking in the side view mirror. And then he goes over to the driver's side, and the guy is still sitting in the car. And he said, what, you can't effing drive? You didn't see my car? So then the next thing you know, I see the door open, and this guy got out of the car, and he was much bigger than him. And all I said, oh, shit. That's just what I said to myself. I was like, oh, shit. And then the guy said, what did you say to me? And then the next thing you know, he yoked him. And then he started beating the mess out of him. And then he wasn't doing anything. He did nothing. He didn't hit him not once. He didn't even try and fight back. And then
wow.
I was like, oh, my goodness. And the guy was wailing on him. And then next thing you know, the guy was going for his trunk, and he had a female with him, and the female was saying, no, don't get it. And then at that point, I took my son, and I ran in the supermarket because I knew he was going to get a gun, and I didn't want my son to see his father get killed. So I just ran in the supermarket, and everybody started running towards the back of the supermarket because they thought sure that the guy was just going to start shooting. And then all of these guys came over, and they started telling the guy, you just got out of jail. Don't go back to jail. And they knew who he was, and they said he had just got out of jail.
Wow.
And then I'm in the aisle, and I'm, like, crouched down, and I'm looking, I'm peeking, and then I see him running in, my ex-husband. So then he came over to me. He said, come on, let's go. So then I'm saying to myself, oh, wow, he's finished. And then we're running out, so we get back in the car, and then the guy broke away from the guys that were holding him. And he came over to the driver's side, and he said, roll down the window. So he rolled down the window, and then he was mushing his head in the car. He was mushing his head, and he said, I know where you live, and don't you let me see you back out on these streets. He said, not today, not tomorrow. I better not see you. I'm going to whoop your ass again.
Wow.
And he said, now you could go. Yeah, and then he said,
wow.
Now you could go. And then he drove off. And then his mouth was busted, his face was busted up. And then I'm sitting there, and I'm saying to myself, good for him. I'm like, good for him. And then I'm saying to myself, oh, boy, you know, but I know he's going to give it to me because now I saw it, you know.
Yeah.
So,
I know you probably wanted to tell him, honey, you want me to go back and ask him to apologize to you? Because I'm sure he's real sorry for doing that. I'm sure he didn't mean it.
Wow. He got his behind beat.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's so many different parts in the book that just so touching, you know. And then, you know, there was a part where you met this gentleman named Craig. Like, you know, there was a point because of all the abuse and being, you know, involved with somebody so young, there was never really the time where you actually developed or got to know what real true love was, you know.
Right.
So this gentleman that was named Craig in the book, you know, you can talk to us about that situation, you know, with Craig. You know, actually, he actually told you, you know, he was in love with you. He loved you.
Mm-hmm.
Really couldn't respond back. Tell us about that situation.
Yeah, that was one day when I happened to get away from him because he would pick me up wherever I worked. He would always be there to take me to work and to pick me up. And just one day I convinced him that I wanted to go shopping by myself because I just wanted some time by myself. And then I went into this eyeglass store downtown Brooklyn, and then just this real handsome tall guy came over, and, you know, he's like, may I help you? And then I said, I'm just looking, and we flirted with each other, and then he asked me for my number, and then he gave me his, and then I wound up going over, and he was a paramedic, and I showed him my bruises on my arm, and he went and automatically he went and he got something out, some rub out of the bathroom, and he started putting them on all of my bruises, and then he actually kissed all of my bruises. That was
romantic part in the book.
Yeah.
Don't give out too much, Lush. Let them buy the book.
Don't. We ain't going to the cold. If you want to hear more information about that love scene in the book, that's it. Or you six caller to call in at 347-826-7722. But it's hot, though. It's a hot, steamy moment.
We all deserve a steamy moment.
Savage, can you please give everybody out? I know you did at the beginning of the show. Can you give out where they can buy your book again?
Yes, it's online at over 25,000 online sites, including Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, as well as Author House, who is the publisher. And then if anyone orders through Author House, they actually get a $2 discount on either book. And also through AuthorHouse.com, if anyone wanted an e-book, it's available on e-book on AuthorHouse.com. And then in the local booksellers, some Barnes & Nobles carry it, and I'm trying to get it into more bookstores now as we speak. But there are some bookstores out there that actually physically have copies of the book, and if not, they can order them for you.
Okay. I also wanted to let all the viewers know that you can help Miss Savage out a lot if you would give her book some reviews when you read it.
Yes.
Like you can go to books.livingsocial.com, sign up there where they do have her book, and they're waiting. It has no reviews. So for people who have read it or if you're reading it and in the process, please leave your comments and rate the book because authors really do need that support, like we said. And, of course, if you want to network with Ms. Savage before the show's over, I know she's going to give out her information so that we can all do that and definitely stay in contact with her and work with her because I would love most definitely to work with you down here in Georgia and see what we can get going on here as well.
Thank you.
But definitely I want to say it again. It's books.livingsocial.com to sign up and definitely give authors your love and support and the book reviews so that they can get their ratings up and become bestsellers.
Yes.
That's what's up. And I'm telling you right there, you got the right one, Javita right there. She's a monster. She's a monster, girl, I tell you.
Wow, great.
You need I'm going to let y'all know, you need paperwork done. You need to structureize your business. You need, girl, Javita, she's a monster.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
She's here every Thursday.
Every Thursday. You can holler at us,
man. All my lovely queens.
Yeah.
So, Mrs. Savage,
mm-hmm.
What contact information do you have for battered women?
Oh, the hotline, definitely. The 800 hotline, 800-799-SAFE. And what happens when you call that hotline is they dispatch to any of your local agencies. So that's the main line for victims that they can call. But then every state, every place has the local shelters and homes that, you know, you can definitely get in contact with.
Right, through the police
and there's a wealth of information online for victims and then teenagers also. There's a lot of teenage abuse hotlines out there also. And what I do like about some of them is that they are actually ran by mature teenagers who understand and may have came from abuse, and now they're out advocating for other teenagers.
Do you know that, well, you may not know, but we've been doing, domestic violence and giving out information and seeking information for other women and men that may need it. But one of the things that, in doing research for this, we found out that there are 1,500 shelters for battered women in the United States, and there are 3,800 animal shelters.
Yes, yes, that is amazing. And, you know, in the,
how do you feel about that?
I think that that's horrible because there is so many victims that don't know that they can even reach out to places because they're not available. But one thing that I do want to do is to develop homes for victims because what I know, and I came from New York, but maybe in New Jersey, I don't know about other states, but some of the homes, they don't have, like, a homey feel, and you may be hindered from even going to shelters because you feel like you're going from one extreme down to, you know, another extreme. But what I would like to do is to develop homes that are just really, really nice homes that they can feel like they are coming to a warm place, a safe place for their children, and they will feel comfortable. And so that's one thing that I do want to work on in the near future also is the homes for the victims.
You're right, because when you go into those animal shelters, they have pools and massages and all type of stuff for the animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, these animals are treated like royalty.
Exactly.
And yet you go to these battered shelters, and it's like, you're right, it's like you're going to from one extreme to another. So it's like, which is your worst
like
poison?
Yeah, it's like a prison.
Mm-hmm.
It's really how it's set up.
Dogs.
Right, and it shouldn't be that way because you have to feel like you are going somewhere where, like, for instance, if you're coming from an upscale neighborhood and you're being beat, that's one thing that would hinder you from even going to a safe house or a shelter is because of the conditions. So I really feel that every neighborhood should have homes set up. It shouldn't even be a thing on, oh, I don't want that in my neighborhood, because it should be just like all of the other houses.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, just like they have retirement homes for old people, they should definitely have that as well. I definitely agree with you on that because the conditions are really bad. And like I said, I would love to work with you with that because I'm in the process of starting my organization, Go Fish.
Oh, great.
Which means go out and find individual sufficient homes for life. You know, collaborative effort between church and state to find foster and adoptive kids home, as well as find homes for kids who age out of the system, because a lot of them do get caught up in domestic violence cases because they don't have a place to go, and they wind up being prostitutes and drug dealers and things because they don't have a residence and a place to be. So we definitely, definitely believe in your cause, and we definitely want to promote your book. And for everybody out there listening, please, please, please go out there and buy The Blood and Tears of Domestic Violence, A Survivor's Revelation by Donna M. Savage. You know, we really need your love and support on this one. And go out and really, really push this book hard.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Hard. Like I'm telling you, she's a beautiful, sweet person. Don't be scared to contact her. She ain't going to bite.
No.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so, you know, please, we calling out to every bookstore. We calling out to the people that have radio shows. We calling out to everybody. We really, really, really are trying to push this book as hard as possible. Seriously.
Thank you.
Do you have book signings?
Yes, yes, I sure do. As a matter of fact, later on this month, one thing that, and I believe it's going to be very important, I don't know who's heard of in New York, James E. Davis. He was one that, him and his brother developed this Stop the Violence Foundation years ago, and then his brother, right. One of the brothers got killed. Well, they have an art gallery going on in Brooklyn, and we've teamed up, so we're going to be presenting the Blood and Tears of Domestic Violence Public Forum on February 21st at the James E. Davis Art Building on Hanson Place in Brooklyn. And it's going to be at 4 p.m.
Is that a weekend?
That's on a Saturday.
Okay, that's what's up. That's what's up. That's what's up.
Yep, and we're going to be there. I believe Queen Penn will be there also because I know and I feel her passion as we all were at her function on January 16th, and that's just it. That's what it takes is for survivors that have a passion to change, because sometimes even with me, when I did, before I finished my book, and then how I finished my book was when my current husband, his friend, killed his wife and himself and her mother. But before that, I was ready to settle into just surviving, and I was so thankful that I had survived. But after God brought that to me, that experience, then that's what has given me the passion and the hunger to go out there and to make a difference in the domestic violence and what's going on, because it's just keep on going further and further and further, and it has to be something done.
That's the truth. And quick public service announcement. I got this email from Lynx from Extravaganza Radio. We all remember Sean Bell that got shot 50 times in New York. And we know that all of the gentlemen that actually were involved in the shooting got off. Basically, they're calling out. We asking all the women, anybody that you know, to please write to Nicole, which is, you know, to write to Nicole, the family and everything to support her as she goes before the committee board to ask for the street to be named after Sean Bell. So she's trying to reach out to everybody. So, you know, please make sure if you have a typed letter, you know, and add the link for Sean Bell's petition to create, you know what I'm saying, please, you know what I'm saying, we really, really need to support this sister in our movement. She's going out, and I'll be having the information posted on www.streetqueensthemovement.ning.com and www.streetqueensthemovement.blogspot.com. I will have the link there, so if you want to email or support Sean Bell, for them to name a street after Sean Bell, to recognize that an innocent gentleman got killed, you know, in New York, 50 times, bullets went into this gentleman and left, and leaving a mother of his children by herself. So please support the cause, and you
the
know
day before the this, before the day before they were ready to be married.
The day before he was at his bachelor's party, leaving his bachelor's party with his friends, had nothing on him, goes to his car, gets in there, and that was his final day. Get into the car, because they had the place under surveillance. Get into the car. Man came out the car. Police officers shot him 50 times in cold blood. Police situation.
Well, his friends also had got shot, too.
His friends also got shot also. You know, and if you Google it, you'll see the story and everything, and they'll explain what happened. But please, we're calling out to everybody, please support the situation. And this PSA was sponsored by Extravaganza Radio. You know, go to www.extrava. It's EGRA.
They can do EG Radio online. It takes them to the same place.
Go to EGRadio.com and go there.
EGRadioOnline.com.
Online.com. Go there and write a letter to support the petition. We really need to stop the violence from abusers to people killing people innocently. You know, we really, 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 really need to stop the violence, seriously, because, you know, we're going into 09. We got to stop the violence.
We're in
09. We're in 09. I'm tripping, right?
It takes a minute. We're still in January. It's still the process in January.
Everybody has their moments when they, you know, every time we switch into a new year, we always stuck in the oven. She's like, hey, man, I forgot, man. I thought it was still 06 or something, you know. But, you know, we, you know, please support that movement, man. Make sure you go to the link. I'm going to say the link one more time.
It's egradioonline.com.
Okay, and this PSA was sponsored by EG Radio. Make sure you support Sean Bell and his family in that petition. And like I said, man, the blood, sweat, and the blood, tears of domestic violence and survivors' revelation is on the market. It's hot off the presses. Donna M. Savage, man, I know y'all want to hear that steamy moment, you know what I'm saying? And I know y'all want to hear everything that went on in depth and detail, you know, the transition of our life. Please, we are calling out to everybody to support this book. Leave reviews. Jarita, give them the spot where they need to leave reviews in regards to her book.
Okay. Go to books.livingsocial.com. Again, that's books.livingsocial.com. You know, like Lush said, today was a wonderful show. We gave a lot of great cliff notes. And definitely read the book and go on there and leave her some reviews, because we want to see this book made into a movie. We want to see it touch the lives of so many more women and men in this country and in this world. And we want to see it on as the number one bestseller book.
Thank you.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
Thank
we calling out to you, Tyler Perry. We want you to make this movie, man.
Yes,
come on, Tyler.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes,
come on. I want a roll. Can I get a roll, though? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's who I want to do it also.
I can cry on the spot. I can cry on the spot. All I got to do is think back in my life.
Yes, you know, but I will be putting out a casting call, because I do want to get actresses and actors in place and get an idea of who I want. I already think that I know who I want to play me, and I did want Alicia Keys because I think she could do it.
Mm.
And then for the male role, I know, I'm not too sure, but Layman Rucker is one that I thought about for the part of my ex-husband, those two headlining. And then I don't know about Blair Underwood, but he could do it. I just put it that way, but I'm not too sure. But I am going to put out a casting call.
Mm.
That's nice.
Blair Underwood is scrumptious. But anyway.
Well, we'll be there.
Yes, we will.
At the premiere.
We'll be at the premiere, man. I'll be sitting there right there in the front row. Trying. And
I'll be right through the red carpet, like, we're here.
Oh, yeah.
The Street Queens will be online on the red carpet, and we will be sitting in front row with a box of tissue, crying.
Yeah.
And laughing, and you know, saying just happy and proud for you, you know, proud of you right now, just for you being so strong and being a survivor and telling your story to the masses. And, you know, we will do, from the bottom of my heart, do everything that we can in order to support your movement.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So much. And in saying that, once again, tell them where they can, you know, get your information and contact you and stuff like that. And then go ahead and wrap the show up.
Sure, yes. And I would like everyone to visit my MySpace page at myspace.com/DMSavageMedia. And then I also have my website, www.dmsavage.com. And the book is available online at over 25,000 sites, including Amazon and barnesandnobles.com, as well as Author House, who is the publisher. And anyone ordering through Author House gets a $2 discount on the books, and it can order the e-book on there as well. Also, in all of the local bookstores also should carry the book, or they could order it.
The MySpace, you said D as in David, M as in money?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Okay,
Savage Media. Yes.
Okay.
That's what's up. And we'll have our wonderful and lovely Jarvita closing it out.
Thank you, Ms. Savage, once again.
Yes, we definitely appreciated it, and definitely love your work, and I can't wait to read your book.
Thank you.
Donna, we love you so much, and you know you my sister from another mother, player.
Yes. Thank you.
You know you a queen. You know you a street queen, and we rock with you nonstop. Rock it, don't stop it. But you know, we love you, girl, man,
for real.
And we support you 100%. We are so honored, and we love you. And we will.
And you have a home here. Please
you.
Call. Please call anytime you want to have your promoting or having anything else, so we can definitely go forward and spread that out.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I sure will. And I will not forget.
No, we're here every Thursday.
Yes.
Every single Thursday, 8
yes.
to 10.
Yes, you have an excellent show. You have an excellent show.
Thank you. And we're definitely going to work on that PSA, because what we're going to do is offline, we're going to work on creating a PSA. And with the PSA, we're going to incorporate the book, and I'll actually run it on both of my shows. This one, and the other one offline, and maybe we can come up with an internet thing that we could put like on YouTube and and put that on the Street Queens, the Movement Ning site. So we're gonna work on that, offline.
Oh, great!
Try to get that together.
Great,
Street Queens, we got your back, man.
Thank
we some
you.
Beard, man.
You.
It's fierce. It's
yes,
officially
stamped.
Yeah, because Felicia does have the TV show with Music Mania, so that would be wonderful to have you on there.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
As well as, again, we definitely all would love to feature you in our work. But to wrap it up, tonight's show, for those who didn't tune in the beginning, we're talking with Ms. Donna M. Savage and her book, Blood and Tears of Domestic Violence, A Survivor's Revelation. And this book is basically her autobiography, explaining her life and her struggles dealing with domestic violence and how she was able to overcome it and get out of that situation and relationship, and how you too, if you're in a abusive relationship, how you can find strength and pull together to leave that relationship, and two, some tips for you to use and survival guide for you to implement. That way you can be successful in leaving without having the fallout repercussions behind it, hopefully. In addition to this book, we talked about our lives and how reading this book has touched us just from listening to it. Just the Cliff Notes version was very riveting. And for those who definitely are listening, we urge everyone to go out and definitely buy the book. We told you to go out and go to books.livingsocial.com and definitely leave her some reviews. And it's not just that site. It's plenty of sites that you can log on to and sign up and join and leave book reviews, so that you can show her your love and support, so that she can continue to do the wonderful work that she is doing. Her publisher is Author House, and she gave out her contact information, which was www.myspace.com/dmsavagemedia.com, and you can also check her out at dmsavage.com for more information on her. You can always contact Street Queens, the movement, and we can definitely hook you up with that, and definitely network so that we can push this book and show her all the love and support that she so richly deserves. Our motto is to empower and to support the diverse needs of the people, and our creed is Street Queens are here to show our future leaders the way. Walking and talking life struggles every day. Like the sands of time, we are an inescapable entity, bringing light into dark places and filling despair with hope. And on that note, I would like to leave you with another quote, which is, as we embark and embrace the world sailing on the many seas of time, remember we are all vessels. Our souls and spirit guide the ship through the odyssey of life. On our journey, our ships may dock in many ports, but whether we decide to harbor stowaway emotions is entirely up to us. And I wrote that as a survivor myself for other women who are going through this struggle, that all the hurt and the pain that you are dealing with, you can overcome it and you can survive it. And you just have to decide to let it go and to put it down and move on and learn to be happy and accept you for you.
And that's what it is. Excellent, man. You know, you made a tear come out of my eye, Doug. Real talk. You a beast. You a fist. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to throw a little laugh in there, man. You know, we serious all the time. You know what I'm saying? You know, but real talk, man, I have to thank all of our supporters that called in. You know, Rena, you know, Lissette that's not feeling all that well in the chat room. You know, shout out to Strictly Bump One, who is actually one of our endorsers, you know, that does this thing, actually, you know, offered to make a donation. And, you know, Bump, definitely go out and get the book, Bump. You know, we're going to give you that information. I'm going to talk to you offline in regards to that. But make sure you guys check out strictlybump1.com. You know, they got one of the hottest fashion in the industry, man. Check them out. And, you know, Donna, you're a beautiful, wonderful, and blessed woman. I love bottom of my heart. All the street queens, we love you. We're giving you an imaginary hug right now. But
group
not
hug, group
we
hug.
Want you to, we don't want you to hurt, okay? Not too tight. Breathe, but we love you, girl, so much, and I love all my queens and all my queens that couldn't join me tonight. Shout out to Miss Toy, shout out to Felicia Sabree, shout out to CG, shout out to Lissette, and all my beautiful queens that's on here tonight. I love you guys. I love you. It was an excellent, wonderful show. I'm so proud to be a street queen, you know what I'm saying? And we doing what it do. Make sure you check us out each and every Thursday, same time, same place. And, you know, make sure that we encourage you to contact your friends and people and let them know that, you know, we're doing positive things and we're positive people. Make sure you support Street Queens, the movement. Make sure if you want any donations, donate at P.O. Box 30126, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 20731. If you want to email us at streetqueensmovement@gmail.com, or you can log on to our site to even make a donation at streetqueensthemovement.ning.com. And we love you, and I'm going to leave you guys off. Love you, Donna.
Love y'all, too.
See you
thank
later,
boo
boo.
So queen. Okay. All right.
Queens.
Good night, everyone.
Good night,
bye-bye.
We love
peace
you, man. Peace. You know what I'm saying? Peace.
You
I love
so
you.
Okay.
Love all y'all, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to leave you guys with The Storm Is Over Now. All right? For some inspiration, baby. Let's go.
Thank you.